Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture is taken from the book Mark chapter 8, 31 through chapter 9, verse 1. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on the divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and all of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come with power." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Creator God, we cannot hear the trees growing, and we can't hear a single drop of rain as we miss one in the many. We cannot hear the weight of people's grief, and we cannot hear when hearts are changed. But you can. Once again, we come to you with hopeful hearts, asking that you would lend us your ears. Help us to hear so that we can live as you lived. We are listening. Amen. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Poor Peter. Oh, Peter. I always feel really bad for Peter because he gets such a bad rap. You know, he's putting his foot in his mouth again and again. And Peter's doing something wrong. Again and again, Jesus chastises him. Peter loses faith while he's walking on the water. He talks about building a memorial at the Transfiguration site. He refuses to wash Jesus' feet. He falls asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's supposed to be praying. Peter denies knowing Christ 3 times. But of all of those things, this passage as being the one that contains Peter's strongest scolding. Jesus has some really strong words for Pete. He's rebuked. He's compared to Satan. All because Peter just doesn't even want to think about the possibility that Jesus will be rejected and persecuted. That Jesus will endure pain, will suffer, will die. Peter conveniently forgets about the whole risen again in 3 days. But just before this, Jesus asked all of the disciples, who do the people say that I am? Who do they think that I am? And the disciples, they give a whole bunch of different things, you know, Elijah, Moses, John the Baptist. And then Jesus asks, okay, but who do you say that I am? Peter raises his hand. And he correctly, I might add, declares that Jesus is the Messiah. Peter recognizes who Jesus is. So Pete's getting some things right. Here's the thing. Peter's idea of who or what the Messiah is and our understanding of who or what the Messiah is, those are pretty different things. We have this benefit of hindsight. Peter understood the Messiah to be this like strong and powerful military political leader. The Messiah was going to deliver the people from the oppression of the Roman Empire. And we as Christians, 2,000 years later, we still understand the Messiah to be powerful and a savior who's going to deliver us from oppression. But this Messiah isn't going to rule from a throne or through military might. Rather, the Messiah that we understand, Christ, delivers us from sin. Jesus rules through hearts and minds and souls, through love. We know what Peter did not know, that in order to rule, Jesus would have to suffer persecution and die. So Peter rightly pointed out that Jesus is the Messiah. But because he's caught up in this mighty and macho understanding of the title, he thinks Jesus has gone a little wacky when he says that he's going to be rejected, that he's going to suffer, that he's going to die. For Peter, there's no room for suffering or death in his definition of a Messiah. So Peter takes Jesus aside, okay, come on, buddy, and gives Jesus a little talking to. Slow down there, Jesus. This whole persecution and death thing, yeah, that can't happen. You're the Messiah. You're supposed to overthrow, not be overthrown. The thing is, Jesus is leading the disciples. Jesus is leading Peter. And if Jesus dies, what exactly is he leading the people towards? That had to have been a really terrifying conversation for Peter. Can you imagine Peter's shock when Jesus rebukes back? Get behind me, Satan. If someone that I highly respected compared me to Satan, I would probably immediately break down in tears. In that moment, Peter was called to listen to a very difficult truth about what the life of the Messiah really is, followed by another difficult truth of what the life of a disciple would be. There are so many times that I see myself in Peter, which is kind of why I always feel bad for him. But this one gets me. And maybe some of you can identify with Peter here too. Like again and again, I think I've got it all figured out. But again and again, God calls me to listen. to shut my mouth long enough to let my heart and spirit be expanded. So maybe, just maybe, I can try and grasp something new. Or maybe even to grasp something old in a new way. Listening is hard. Because listening is more than just hearing the words that someone is saying. It's noticing the words that they choose. It's paying attention to their body language. Listening is detecting what isn't being said. Listening does involve talking, but it's about asking open-ended questions, follow-up questions. When we're truly listening, we're not thinking about what we're going to say or do next. As if all of those things that go into active listening, as if all of those things, even individually, like, but together, that's a lot. If that wasn't difficult enough, there's a possibility that the person or persons that we're talking to, we might be confronted with some hard truths. We might hear things that conflict with our preconceived notions, or that don't match our personal experiences. Think about the last time that a friend or a family member was going through a hard time. Was your response to quiet them? To try to cheer them up? Or did you sit with them and listen to their complaints? Truly listen to their complaints, even if you thought that their complaints were kind of silly. Did you listen without trying to fix anything? Without trying to tell them what to do? That's really hard to do, especially when you know everything and you could just tell them exactly what they need to do. The last time that you saw someone on the street asking for money at the street corner or, you know, wherever else you happen to be, did you avert your eyes? Did you try to pretend that they didn't exist? Did you assume that you knew their story? Or did you ask about and listen to their story? We don't, as a culture, exactly incentivize the telling of hard truths. Listening to God or the disempowered leaves us in a really scary place. Hard truths trouble the waters of our understanding, and they challenge our notions of what is real. We're confronted with these brutal realities, and we're opened up to a voice that calls us to change. When Jesus says to the crowd, "Deny yourselves and take up your cross and follow me," he's talking to all of us here too. We are also called to walk behind Jesus. We're not the ones leading, which honestly is probably a really good thing, because we're prone to choosing the things that make us comfortable rather than choosing the things that make us loving. I don't blame Peter at all here for talking back to Jesus. Because if we're really honest, haven't we all, at one point or another, at some point, disagreed with Jesus? Asking, like, why won't you do what we want? Why don't you see the world? Do you not see what's happening in the world right now? Why can't we focus on the positive? Why can't we sidestep our conflicts and our problems? We like the Jesus that casts out demons, that heals the sick, that prevents death, and feeds thousands of people. But the road that Jesus walks, the road that Jesus asks us to follow him on, is more than those feel-good things. There is also suffering and rejection for Jesus. And that rejection doesn't just come from the religious leaders. It doesn't just come from the scribes or the political leaders. But that rejection comes from Peter. And that rejection comes from us. So we have to continually make the choice to listen to all of it. To listen to the miracles and the anguish. Listen to the people who are fed and the people who have never been fed. We have to listen to all of it in order to choose again and again that the life that Jesus calls us to is one of love, is one of pain, is one of joy. And in return, as we follow that, we gain a love that sustains and heals us as well as the whole world. So just like Peter, we are often stuck in a pattern of messing up again and again and again. We cling to our power and to our privilege. We memorialize and commercialize Christ's teachings rather than embodying them. Ultimately, though, Peter does listen. And as he listens, he learns. And each time he learns, he does a little better. Again and again, we are also called to listen both to God and to each other. And in listening, we might find the grace that we need for transformation. Thanks be to God. Amen.